guys, this is like I'm a rock star. Can you hear me? It's funny, when Yulia and I were friends, she did exactly that. She said, okay, but we're going to be friends, but we have to do this. You have to. That means when I call you, you have to call me back. That means that we make plans and we do things together. I've never had a friend actually give me expectations of what they wanted out of a friendship. But, you know, it's funny, we have a friendship contract, so we're not allowed to move out of the state or anything. This is crazy, crazy, crazy. You know, so many of my friends and peers are in here. I have so many people that I love and that love me back. It's really overwhelming. It's not my anniversary, but I swear it feels like it. I do want to say thank you to the committee. When I was first asked, my mother was in hospice and couldn't really talk, but just to even be thought of that way, you know, you don't look at yourself that way, you're just doing the thing, you know, and just to be thought of, I mean, it was almost like Miss America getting her crown, you know what I mean? So humbling, you know, that anybody thinks that I have anything to say, and to this, like, this is just really, really humbling. So, guys, I have no idea what I'm going to say. I purposely chose not to think about what I was going to say. I've just been prayed up. So just expectations for the group. It's not going to be the best meeting you've ever heard, and it's hopefully not going to be the last and worst meeting you've ever heard. So today I woke up. I took the day off. I leisurely woke up with my dogs. I have three. I have a zoo. And drank my espresso with my black lab in my face, kissing my face, totally present and in love and joy and peace. Moved around, puttered around, got ready, went hiking by myself with my dogs in just peace again, praying, just the joy of seeing my dogs bounce around and just living their best life. Come home, get in the bathtub, pray some more, get ready, and then come here, go to dinner with my friends, and I'm like here, and I'm so excited to be in this room and in this convention. Like, I love meetings, I love conventions, but I get to like stay here and like be like a newcomer and stay up all night and go to meetings and just cut up and have a good time. So that was my day today. What a typical day looked like when I was using. It was very closed, you know. I was thinking about this story the other day. It was my birthday. And it was when me and my now husband were using, and he brought all these gifts. He's like really big into like birthdays, right? And we were using pretty hard, and he brought all these gifts, and he didn't have any receipts. I'm like, okay, well, thank you, but do you have any receipts? Like, we need this money to like go get something, you know? And, I mean, that's fucked up, right? Like, you're so fucked up. My birthday, and I want to return your gift so I could go use, you know? And I'm still not that easy to buy gifts for because I'm a pain in the ass. I'm like Goldilocks. I know I'm a pain in the ass. I'm a pain in my ass to myself. Trust me, I'm very particular. But it's just to not even see the gift in that. And the gratitude in that, that somebody would think enough of me to do something for me. And today, that's not like that. It's not like that. So just that contrast of where I am. You know, and I asked, I've been talking to God, and if God freaks you out, I get it, okay? You'll hear my story. So when I talk about God, it's my higher power. It's the one that I choose, not that anybody else has chosen. It's me and this thing, whatever it is, okay? So I'm not pushing that on you. It's just my experience. You know, I talk to God all the time. God talks right back to me all the time. And when James asked me, I was honored. I wasn't sure that I was going to do it yet. And so they chose me. And again, I was honored. And I was like, so there's something that you really want me to say. There's something that you want me to say. And I know that there's something that he, she, whatever, wants me to say tonight. But I'm thinking to myself, why now? Why now? If you would have asked me a year ago, let's go, Narcotics Anonymous, I'll like be the cheerleader, let's go. And, you know, I'm really broken. I'm like really broken right now. I've changed. My mom died last year, and I'm just a different person. And it's not bad. It's not bad. Broken, a lot of times people see broken or sad or grieving, and they look at it like, oh, like the whole, everything like changes, you know what I mean? And I don't look at it like that. I don't. It sucks. You know, nobody wants to feel that, but I'm a human being, and if you live long enough, it's going to happen to every one of us if it hasn't already. So I'm thinking to myself, why now, God? Because this is just the worst timing, the worst timing that you could give. So, anyway, so I'm going to tell you about me. And I look at my story a lot different now because, again, the longer you stay here, the more will be revealed and the more awareness that you get. And I love this this picture. I just noticed it while I was sitting here. And it has these little beams. And I was just talking to a friend of mine before the meeting, and she's like, oh, it's the pink cloud. And, you know, and she's like, when am I going to get it again? And she's like, I said, no, you're not going to get it again. You're not going to get it again. She's like, well, that sucks. I'm like, no. Now what it's like is that you're going to have the clouds are going to separate and you see beams because you get that awareness, okay? So the pink cloud is great, y'all. No awareness, denial, having fun. Like, that is fun, okay? Denial, I'm grateful for denial. It has saved my ass many, many times. And when I need to see what I need to see is when I'm going to get there, you know? No one has any... Nobody can make that happen for me or you. And so sometimes I wish that I would have gotten a lot sooner some of the things that I see now. But it is what it is. So that's why I say I see my story very different. When I first got here, I was a very angry girl. Victim, self-pity, drama. You know, I could tell you a story that would make you feel sorry for me, and it would sound good, y'all. Like, it would sound good. And I believed it, so that's why it sounded good, because I was in it, you know? And anything that happened to me, tire, like anything, it was like a big deal, you know? I just didn't have the coping skills. So when I got here, I heard everybody else's story, and I was really angry. I had a very angry father coming here, and I did not have the nicest words to say about this man. And this man has raised me, and you know, I was just so angry. And I heard so many other horrific stories, so many, and I'm thinking, oh my God, I must have not had it that bad, you know? And that comparison really kept me in denial for a long time, and that's what I'm talking about that I'm seeing now, you know. So the way that I was raised, my father was a minister. I'm a minister's daughter, the typical minister's daughter. It took four, I'm number four, it took the fourth one to take lead on that. And, you know, I was raised in this very strict Southern Baptist home. And what was in the home was very different than what was outside. My father was just really, he was a rageaholic, and you never knew what mood he would be in. And so what's different and what I feel now is that, it was abusive most of my life. He was abusive to me, my sisters, my mother especially. And it was very hard as a little girl to see that. And the terror that I had is new for me. I'm starting to see all this and feel all this. And the denial of me saying, okay, well, it wasn't that bad. But it was that bad. It was really painful. This shit is coming up now, and it's really, really painful. And I guess I just wasn't ready to see it until now, you know? So, you know, he did a lot of fucked up shit. He never put his hands on us, but I think sometimes it's a little bit more insidious because it's not obvious. You know, it wasn't obvious. And look, I'm not beating on my dad or my mom. It's generational. You know, they got this shit too. And I'm just trying to, like, share where I'm coming from and where I'm at. And so I'm seeing all this now, and, I had some other trauma. I was molested for 6 years by a family member. My parents were very religious, like I said, and, you know, it really wasn't much of a choice for me. I was just kind of, like, formed into this line of, okay, this is what you have to believe. I wasn't asked questions. I wasn't given the autonomy. I wasn't given the opportunity to be curious and to ask questions. I didn't dare do that. In Narcotics Anonymous, I love that we have that. I love that we have a choice. You know, it would have totally turned me off if somebody else would tell me what they told me I had to believe. And I just love that part of our program. There's so many things about this program that I love. I don't know what all of that did to me. It probably wasn't a good sign to, like, you know, have this girl, like, not want to do something to cope, you know. And I'm grateful I used. I might have been dead, you know. I'm grateful for the drugs. I know that's probably not a popular thing to say, but I am. You know, I felt like I had no other choice. I hated myself. I hated the way that I felt. And I didn't even know what I was doing. I just didn't want to feel what I was feeling. I didn't have the coping mechanisms. I didn't have the voice. You know, the girl that you see right now is such a different girl than I was when I first came in here. I couldn't even read a reading, let alone stand in front of this many fucking people, you know? I went along, and I didn't love it, you know? I didn't love it until I found the one that I did, of course, you know? It's always the one. You have to just keep trying until you find it, you know? And I did, and it was great. It was. I had a good time. That's another thing I did when I got here. There wasn't, the minied and varietied addicts that we have now is a blessing. I mean, it's not a blessing that we have more of you and us, but it's a blessing in that there's more relatability. It took me years to find somebody that had my story. My sponsor has my story. And I love that there's more people that we can relate to. And I may not be your person, but there will be a person here for you. God brings those people to us. I don't know how it happens, but whenever it is that I need something, I always have those spirits and those souls that provide me what I need. And I'm so grateful for that. So grateful for that. And I get that here, you know? I used, and I loved it until I didn't. And my typical day using, it was It was torture. It was a fucking job, you know? And I didn't use like a lot of us did. I mean, as, like I said, I compared myself out to a lot of people when I first got here. A lot of people were tricking. A lot of people were shooting needles. A lot of people were coming in trash bags. And I thought I had to do that to belong. And maybe I didn't belong here because I didn't look like everybody. I didn't talk like everybody else. And it was very easy. Our literature says that we know. I'm telling you, I didn't know. I did not know. I didn't want to know. I didn't want to belong, you know. Who wants to belong? Who wants to belong to Narcotics Anonymous? Like, okay, yes, I do now. I do, but when we first get here, it's like, you know, tell me one thing that convinces me that I don't belong here, you know. Just tell me that one thing. So that I know it's okay for me not to be here and for me to say that I don't fit in. And, you know, a lot of people say, don't let them chase you out. Nobody's fucking chasing you out. Your disease is chasing you out, you know? Nobody's chasing you out because if you want to find recovery, talk about myself. If I want to find recovery, I will find it. If I want to find seedy, nasty, whatever. I mean, look, we're drug addicts. You're going to find it. And this is like the society. But the society out there is the same. It's no different, you know. So my experience has not been a bad one. I've had great people. I haven't had people talk about me. I haven't had situations. And I know that some people have. And but that's just not been my story. Let me, like, backtrack here. I'm finally, like, chill now. Anyhow, my typical day using, it was finding, scrounging as much money as I could. And at first, it'd be a big amount. We'd go, we'd have a party, stay up however late, and then when it was all gone, we'd be counting change, eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I still love peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, though. You know, counting change, looking in the floor, you know, like an animal, like a fucking doll, you know? I used to vacuum so I wouldn't be one of those people, you know? I'm like, don't do that, you know. I did do that. Tommy came down. I'm like, shut up. Don't say anything. But, you know, that is not my life today. That is not my life today. Thank God that's not my life today. And when I look at the person that I was, I took these pictures. I did throw them away. When I thought I was, like, so cute, totally, totally, like, fucked up. And I saw it when I was clean, and I'm like, oh, my God, what was I thinking? It was not cute. And these, like, cute little outfits, I was not cute. And but when I got here, it was really kind of stumbling on here. It was not... it was not a effort. It was just I knew somebody that knew somebody that came, and I went for somebody else because I was going to help him get clean because I didn't have a problem. I didn't know I had a problem. It took me months to realize I had a problem, you know, because I used with people that had a bigger problem than me, you know, so you didn't look at me. You know, you're the one that's got a problem, like, not me, you know. You need to go get help. Because what I saw back when I first got clean, what I saw and what I knew of drug addicts was what I saw on TV. I'm a very sheltered addict, I have to tell you. My dad was a minister, okay? You guys have taught me more than I did out on the street, okay? So I'm very sheltered. And I've learned a lot. where was I? I lost my train of thought.
You were sheltered.
Yeah, I learned that. Oh my God, didn't do it. What? Oh, thank you. Thank you. You were there. You know my story. Anyhow, I came here for other people, and I thought I was going to save them because I'm a rescuer. Let me help you, you know, so I don't have to look at myself. Let me talk about you. This is another new thing that I'm learning about myself, okay? 52 years old, 21 years clean. I'm learning all this shit now, you know. I'm like, really? Like, I'm 52. I'm like just now getting all this, you know. And I don't like intimacy. I thought that if I told you my deepest, darkest secrets, that was intimacy. That's not intimacy, y'all. Intimacy is really getting down to telling you how I feel, completely vulnerable and afraid for you to see me, and then for you to sit back and look at me and love me anyway. That's intimacy. I had no idea, and I hate it. I hate it. It hurts. It's very uncomfortable because it means I have to trust you. And the way I grew up, it was very hard. If I didn't trust my mom and my dad to take care of me, how am I going to trust you? So I'm like, just like seeing all this stuff. And I don't want to be like that. I don't. I want the best life. I want the most out of life. I don't want anything holding me back from that. And, you know, and so I'm grateful. I'm grateful that God is showing me those things now. So when I got here, I didn't know shit about shit. I didn't know anything about anything. And like I said, I could never stand here in front of all these people and be okay with myself. And I was so insecure. I hated the skin that I was in. If I could scratch it off, cut it off, I would have. The clothes, if one fingernail, if one hair was out of place, I was fit to be tied. I couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. And that went on for years, that perfectionism, you know. Like, I think I have dirty tennis shoes. That would have, like, killed me before, you know. And, you know, thank God I've been, like, released from that. I don't have that. So when I got here, I was so insecure. I wanted everybody to like me. I was Miss Susie Sunshine. And, you know, my husband says that I still have that, that's my mask. And he's probably right, because I want everybody to like me. Who doesn't want everybody to like them, right? And it was too much. It was too much. It was me trying to get validation from you instead of myself. And yes, people will love me. They love me. But that's not going to do it. It's not going to do it for me. I have to, like, do it for myself. I have to love myself. Nobody's going to come and rescue me. Like the movies show, these little girls, if somebody's a pretty woman, somebody's, like, kind of come and, like, rescue me. Nobody's rescuing me. You know, it's an inside job, and I'm doing it inside, and it's not easy. It's not easy to find out why I use. I use everything. I use the gym. I use makeup. I use hair. I use nails. I use clothes, sex, attention, love. You know, I'm an addict, and those are my choice drugs today. You know, I'm not cured. I'm still an addict, you know. That's a surprise to me, I have to tell you. You know, I'm serious. For the women that have been pregnant, you realize, like, at the 8th month and at the end, you wake up every day and you're like, oh, God, I'm still pregnant. Sometimes I wake up and I think to myself, oh, my God, it's still here? It's still? Like, I don't know what I thought was going to happen, because I looked at all these people with clean time and they just look so serene and wonderful, and that's what I wanted. And I don't know if I compared my insides to their outside, you know, but I'm grateful for people that have been here before me and people that have been here after me, you know, because there's times where people will do something and I think to myself, they have the same disease I have. There's no reason why if I go back out there that won't happen to me. So I'm grateful that other people do whatever they do so that I can see and learn and I don't either
either I want to do it or I don't want to do what they're doing, you know? And today I learned, listen, I'm a hardhead. I think addicts are hardheads, you know? Pain is a motivator. And that's what's happening to me right now. It's very painful. But I am learning by other people's mistakes, and I am learning by other people's victories as well. And that's something new that I have here in Narcotics Anonymous. So my experiences, yes, I have 21 years clean. I'm still an addict through and through. I am more of an addict now than I thought I ever was. And it has nothing to do with crack, with wine, with alcohol. You know, my disease tells me, wouldn't it be nice to go to a winery and have some wine with my friends? Because none of my friends drink, so I don't know who I'm taking. But it tells me I want to go there because it looks glamorous. You know, when I used cocaine, I looked at Scarface and Michelle Pfeiffer, and she, like, snorted out of this cute little, like, spoon. And I said, I want to be that. I want to do that. That's what I wanted to do, you know? So, like, my head, like, fantasizes about some shit that it's going to, like, look different than it really does. It doesn't look like that for me anymore. You know, I've lost the privilege of going there, you know? If that's a privilege at all, I don't know. Maybe the wine is, but not so much the cocaine. So, you know, I've been here a long time. I've learned a whole lot. I love Narcotics Anonymous now more than ever. Isn't that crazy? Like, it's so crazy to me that I still feel the way that I feel about Narcotics Anonymous. I've always been pretty passionate about Narcotics Anonymous, and that's not to say that when I go to meetings that I'm so in love with everything I hear all the time. And my recovery has definitely not been like this the whole time. It's just been like this and this and this. And I like to use words that don't fit, so that might happen. Linear? Is that the right word? Linear? Okay. I don't know why I do that, but I like that about myself, okay? I think it's cute. My husband is like Webster, and he like knows every word, so I'll say something, and he's like, what are you trying to say? Because that doesn't make sense, you know? Maybe one of these days I'll try to remember and like memorize this stuff, but it just doesn't fit all in here, you know? There's only so much. There's a lot going on in here, you know? So it has not been, I have not done this gracefully. And that's one thing my first sponsor told me. She says, nobody recovers gracefully, Susie, you know. And that is, really, it's really satisfying to know that I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to be Miss Ennett. I'm not Miss Ennett, you know. I'm just Susie. And I'm just trying to get another day clean. And you think, okay, you have 21 years. Like, do you really need to get another day clean? Yes, I really do. Because my disease changes its face all the time. It looks different today than it did 5 years ago. It looks different than it did a year ago. You know, it talks to me different. You know, Beyond Your Wildest Dreams. Who was I talking to about Beyond Your Wildest Dreams? When I first got here, I thought Beyond Your Wildest Dreams was a hot guy with lots of money on a motorcycle with a house, and I didn't have to work or whatever. I don't know what I thought, but like I thought it was like all of that, right? And the self-discovery is the hit, man. It is the hit. Sometimes it is a pink cloud, right? You know, the joy, the laughter, the peace. You know, I have to say that the main thing that I'm the most grateful for is the people of Narcotics Anonymous. One addict helping another. The spirit, the souls, the hugs, the people laughing, crying, you know, just being here for each other. I go to my home group, Wiltshire Survive, Tuesday, 7 o'clock in Simonium, the best home group ever. I go to my home group, and I just feel like it's my home. It's my home, and I just feel this comfort, and I just know that I'm loved. Where can I go? I can't do that. I can do that at home, but it's not, like, with my sisters, my family, you know. I guess I could talk a little bit about that. I've got a lot of time. I could just talk all night. I didn't think we're like programmed to talk for 15, 20 minutes, and I'm like, how am I going to talk for an hour? But look, I'm like, I'm on a roll. I'm going to talk. So I'm going to talk about my experience, and most of my experience clean and working the steps has been with my family. And my family's been the toughest, hardest thing in my recovery. I told you guys when I first started that my family is very into their higher power, and there's no autonomy, there's no being curious, and if you are curious, they're just going to pray all over you and, like, worry you and, like, oh my God, you're going to die, you know, and so it's very hard to be myself. It's very hard to, you know, I want to be accepted, right? Don't we all want to be accepted everywhere we go? But mainly and even more so your family. And it's very, very challenging. And for years I would go visit. I moved away. I'm from Texas. And I moved away, had to get away from the chaos and the negativity that was my father. And because he was just so difficult. I don't know that I would have been able to stay clean had I stayed there. That's the first time I ever thought about that, actually. And so I would go visit. And when I would go visit, I would come home in so much pain and anger and crying. And I, looking back, I can't even tell you why I did that, but it was really painful. And these amends that I had made with my family, you know, I left when I was really young. I just left overnight. Imagine your child just not being home one night with a note. And that's how I left my home at 17. And I've heard many times how hard it was on my dad. He would cry at the dinner table. And they eventually found out where I was, but I never went back. And, you know, I'm sure that I changed him forever. And I changed the family dynamic forever. Like, I'm still that girl that left at 17 and broke everybody's heart. Still. And maybe they don't view me that way, but I know the impact that it has happened and my family has been a divide. I feel it. Maybe if they don't say it, you know, I feel it. And I can't do anything about that. I cannot do anything about that. All I can do is be the woman that I am today and just continue to make those amends. So I'm happy to say, you know, I've worked an 8 to 9 step with my sisters and my dad and my mom. And, you know, we have these sisters text. You know, we go on vacations together. And they're still very different than me. And when I go there, it's still really hard. I'm more myself and more happy to be with them now than I ever have been. But it's still really hard. So last year, my mom is the most important person in my life. She was the most important person in my life. She was this cute, a lot of you have met her because I would take her to meetings. She's from Texas and she's like a really, like, you know, sweet religious woman, you know. And so, like, I took her to go see some meetings and somebody would say, F this and F that. And I'm like, every time they said it, it felt like they were slapping me in the face, like, no. And I looked at her and she's like, you know, and I'm like, does it bother you? She's like, no, I like the stories, you know. And she, you know, spoke Spanish, but she, you know, could understand. And, you know, how lucky was I that I had a woman that loved me that much and didn't care that I had a boyfriend with blue hair and tattoos, you know? Like, she just loved him and didn't question, didn't blink. You know, the outside did not matter to her. The fact that I used did not matter to her. She accepted me no matter what. And so she would come visit. She had dementia at the end, and I had a lot of fun with it. You know, we would have so much fun. I would mess around with her. I would tell her different stories every time she would ask me. And she would laugh. I would make her flip me off. You know, like, this woman would never do that. I'd moon her, you know what I mean? I mean, I just did anything to, like, make her laugh. And now I have those videos of her, like, you know, flipping me off. You know, I send it to my sisters, you know. They're like, Susie, what are you doing to our mother? But you know what? We just had so much fun together. So I had 20 years of being this, of being who I am with my mother. Thank God for Narcotics Anonymous. That's the gift of being present and being available for all the gifts in my life, the people in my life, my husband, my children, which are my dogs, you know, my grandkids, my daughter. You know, that's the gift. So she went into hospice last year, and I, no question, thank God for COVID, because I could work from home now, you know. Could I have done that before? I flew to Texas, and I have a job. You know, when I first got here, I had 5 W-2s every year, you know, jobs everywhere, you know. I was once told that I wasn't very stable in my recovery because I would change jobs so often. And I have a job that actually depends on me. And, you know, I've been there a good while. And they trust me. They trust me to go and work in another state, you know, to take care of my mother. And so I got to stay with her for 24/7. In the hospital with her. It was not really a hospital. It was her apartment, and they had, like, a bed there. And, you know, we Netflixed and chilled, and, you know, my mother loved murder, like, murder shows, you know, Dateline. I know a lot of us do, okay? I do. I don't know why. I know it's crazy. It's, like, sick, but I like it, you know? I think I'm, like, a detective, and I want to, like, find out what's happening next. That's where I'm at. I want to get it before you tell me, you know? That's, like, the trick. So I want to tell you about this most beautiful, beautiful moment that I had with her. One of many, but so it was really late, and most of the time she's been sleeping, you know, and so it was really late, and I had my iPad, and I, you know, was Netflixing, and she's like, she's the Energizer Bunny, okay, 5 o'clock in the morning, she's like, where are we going? So it was like 9 o'clock at night, and she looked over at me, I'm ready to, like, go to bed, and she's like, what do you want to do? I'm like, what? I said, what do you want to do? I don't know. I so, like, start running down the line. Okay, do you want to watch TV? Okay. So I hop in her little bed with her. We're side by side. And so, you know, I have, like, Dateline recorded, right? And so we're watching the story, and I'm so happy it's only an hour long, and I'm, like, falling asleep, and she's like, are you asleep? I'm like, no, I'm awake. And so it was, like, the end. And then I realized there's a whole nother hour. It wasn't the end. It was a two-hour one. I'm like, oh, my God. So I figured she was going to fall asleep, and she wasn't. She stayed up the whole time. She would be incoherent. We would tell my brother-in-law to, like, read the news and read the tragedy, and she would wake right up. Like, she's like, oh. But, you know, and then finally at the end, you know how, like, they, like, wind down at the end? And she was done because she could, like, understand that it was winding down and it was over. Like, there was a conclusion, you know. She's like, I'm tired now. But, like, that's, like, such a great memory. I have pictures of that. It's such a great memory of having something so beautiful with such a beautiful, beautiful person in my life. I have so many of those memories, you know. So my hope... I hope that this never ends for me. I hope that I get an infinity medallion in my cremation. Like, don't look at me when I'm dead. Just cremate me. Don't look at me in a box. That's weird. I don't want you looking at. I mean, who would do my hair? And who would do my makeup? Like, nobody would do it like me, you know? I would be bitching about it over there. Trust and believe. I don't like the outfit you got for me. Just burn me. Yeah, I mean, that's my hope. I hope that, you know, like I was started off by saying that I'm broken and that I'm feeling feelings that I haven't felt in a long time. And I've heard people talk about being in a fetal position. And I never understood that because I'm like, why would you be in a fetal position? Why don't you just, like, go lay down and, like, cry? And a week ago, I was in the fetal position with my dog on her dog bed, and I was crying, and I was crying, and I was like, why, God, now are you having me do this meeting? Why now? Because I'm at the worst place that I could ever be. What is it that I can say that I can help and serve you? And so, yes, it was painful. And here's the thing. It's not black or white. The pain does go. You know, I'm not always in pain. And the joy always comes and goes. And the laughter always comes and goes. That's fucking life, you know? Hopefully, I can have more of the joy and the love than those other moments, but it's okay. You know, I want to say this, and I hope that you guys understand it. You know, whenever somebody's sad or angry, I always have wanted to fix or change the way that they felt. And the one thing that I know is there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with being pissed off. You know, there's nothing wrong with it. If I hurt another human being or myself, then we got a fucking problem, right? But that is a natural emotion. So what do I need to do to figure this out? You know, if I'm sad, what do I need to figure it out? You know, we say, I have a disease, it makes me do this, it makes me do that. Well, why? There's something behind it. So that's where I'm at. I'm wanting to find out the root of where it's coming from, you know, and that's the level that I'm at. Maybe that's four-step stuff, you know, and maybe I'm, like, seeing things differently than I've ever seen it before. I've brushed over all of this before. I've done these steps before. I'm just seeing it in a whole nother light. And I'm excited about it. This is not a sad thing for me. Being broken, being grieving, that's not a sad thing for me. Is that weird? It sounds weird, right? But it's not. It's not. Because I'm a different person today and will forever be changed since my parents are gone. Yeah, I was joking with my friends outside. I don't have that much time left. They're like, oh my God, you're not dying anytime soon, you know. But I do have a lot less time than I had when I first got here, you know. And so what can I do with this time? How can I maximize this time to the best of my ability? And that's the other thing. I do everything, like, full out. That's, like, balls to the wall. Let me work out 5 days a week. Let me lose 500 pounds in 2 days. And, you know, let me just not eat sugar. And, like, I just do everything like that to the extreme. And I don't know if that'll ever change. I don't know that I don't like that about myself. I think I do. Talking to my therapist. I've never been in therapy, y'all. I was talking to my therapist. She's like, well, is that a pattern for you? And I'm like, yeah, I think it is. And I hope, like, she's like, okay, we'll talk about that at another time. And I'm like, I hung up with that, and I'm like, I'm not fucking changing that. I don't know if that's even possible, you know? So I just want to keep going. I just want to keep going, learning more about myself, getting as much as I could possibly. I want to get my bang for my buck out of NA, you know? I want to get everything I can get from this. And when I go to meetings today, with 21 years clean, I'm still excited. Still excited. I still get a message. And sometimes it's not the best speaker, right? Like, it's like, oh, God, that person again. Or, I can't hear them. Or whatever. You know you think about it. You know, we all know. And, but if I can just quiet my voice, quiet the voices in my head, you know, I have this inner critic. And if I'm critical to you, it's just that much stronger to myself, right? And it's very hard to catch it. That awareness is looking for it. That's what I'm talking about, questioning the anger. Let's find out why. What is it? Like, I want to know more, you know? You know, a lot of people in my life say, I'm done. I'm good. I'm done with this life. I'm ready to go. I've heard that from my sisters and a few people that are close to me. I'm like, I'm not ready to go. I have so much more to do. You know, I'm not. So, I hope I've talked long enough. Did I do good?
Yeah.
I just want to say, all the people that have come and encouraged me and gave me a hug and just are so excited that I was here. I mean, that's like crazy. Like, why would you be excited about this, you know? But I'm just so grateful that I was even asked to do this and be a spokesperson for Narcotics Anonymous. If you're new, this is so worth it. And it's hard. It's so hard. Staying clean is so hard. It's torturous. It really is. Staying clean is hard. You know? I wanted to use this year. Just a little bit. It was very, very, like, quiet voice. And my disease has been really, really strong. And sometimes I had the disease, like, really fighting me one day. Like, fighting. It was hours long. I couldn't shut it up. And I did everything I was taught in here. I was praying. I was meditating. And even the prayers were like, is that God or is that my disease? And I could not decipher it. It was really fucking strong. It hadn't attacked me like that in a really long time. And it wasn't until another addict helping another help me realize that I'm going to be okay and that I'm not going crazy. That is the best thing. You know, that is one of the best tools, is having one addict helping another. So for that, I'm grateful, and thank you for listening.